Okay, I am recording this video.
Excellent. Cool.
Apologies, first of all, to anybody who watched the last video. We had an accidental echo. I'm afraid it was on the source video. We can't replicate it today despite having the same setup, but sorry about that.
Apologies to anybody who's watched any of our videos.
Well, yeah, obviously. You know.
And by way of an apology, have a look at my friend Otis here, who's just
Also, a t-shirt day today is this. Oops.
Oh, looky.
Mike Singleton's Lord of Midnights.
Lord of Midnight, yes. Hello, Otis, you're
His
cutie.
eyes are very blue. Are cat's eyes usually? I thought the cat's eyes are usually like yellow or green.
They can be, but how young is he?
About seven, I want to
Oh,
say.
he's an adult cat. Yeah. Yeah, they just stayed blue. I mean, all
Or
mammals have
maybe
blue eyes
five.
to start with.
Also, I don't know,
But
it
then
might be
some of us have the good grace to
the
get gorgeous looking pigment going.
room Brown eyes are the
Hey.
best.
Brown-eyed, handsome man and all that. Chris, what color are your eyes? Kind
What, like green
greeny
or
color.
grey?
Yeah, grey, greeny grey.
Interesting.
Okay, well that's exciting. Well, we no longer have our affiliation flags on our video. Now, if you have a well, because Chris has been a turncoat for a long time, and
I joined the Red Aliens.
actually, I'm quite happy with the OPA still. Do you want Bobby back, Drew? Right, Drew's got Bobby back. I've got my OPA flag still. Chris is a dirty whatever he is.
Red
Red
alien.
alien.
I don't have a red alien flag.
We need to make one.
Yeah, Chris, if you
That's
make
quite
a
fun.
little thumbnail size, on a slightly bigger than thumbnail sized red alien flag of some sort at some point. Don't distract yourself from the excitement of this for that though. Wait till afterwards.
Oh, he will. He's,
Yeah, I
you can
know he
see him
will. I
opening
can
up
see it in
again
his
right
eyes
now.
already, you know.
Oh, look, I've already got. Look at the distraction I've already got. I can't
Yeah,
do all
I
of that.
would not be able to concentrate with that.
Oh.
It's too fucking cute.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, wants to claw you.
Tobin's nice,
Prone
claws
not
not so
to.
nice.
Looks like gentle.
Yeah, it's a winning combination there. Right, finally he's resting as well. We've been out twice this morning because I went up to the park right next to, literally right next to the place I was supposed to go to, and forgot. And I thought, oh, it's okay, I didn't have my ID thing with me. Then I remembered, no, I now have like government tracked ID already in the form of a driver's license, which I just
It's the
showed off on
boat.
camera again. That was clever.
Oh my
I was
God, bring out
shaking
the
it, so
segment.
I might have to not drop a segment in, yeah.
Well, to be fair, you're moving soon anyway, so.
Yeah,
True.
this is true.
Don't burgle till Hamish has moved out,
Yeah,
or
that's it.
firebomb, or swap, or
Whatever
pizzas,
you
or
were
whatever.
going to do, do it afterwards, yeah. And if you can't see it this time, let me know. I bet it goes to can by freeze framing it.
Hang on, what did you just point at? You just pointed like this. What were you
I
pointing
just
at?
pointed like that. I'm
What
pointing
at?
at feedback at thepolarbear.co.uk.
Oh, but we usually go straight up for that, but you went sidewaysy.
Well, it's kind of I'm on the left, so it's in the middle, and it's in the
Oh, I'm
middle.
on the left. I'm on the left for
So,
me.
yeah,
And I got to point the
you're
same side as
pointing,
Hamish because of
that way. You're doing it correct, Chris.
where I am in reality, am I?
You're pointing straight at it. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, great.
I thought you guys had watched our videos back at least once.
Oh, I have, but I don't remember where we were.
It's me, Drew, Chris, left to right.
But yeah, voting day today, isn't it, for England?
For some, yeah, there's one by-election, a lot of council elections, and one at
Males.
least one. No, there's two or three mayors actually. Yeah, so I voted. My vote was the West of England mayoral election, which was mostly Fash and neoliberals, but there was Green was the only option to vote. I mean, Green's an okay. Thankfully, there's a lot of magical thinking hippie type people around here, so Green gets votes for not for the right political reason, but at least they get votes, you know. But there's a lot of nonsense thinkers around here, you know, so Unfortunately, that's part of the Green vote, but at least it's part of the Green vote, not part of the Fash vote or one of the neoliberal parties.
Oh, there are plenty of magical thinkers that vote fascist. The fascist vegan.
I was going to say this.
Oh, no. It's different kinds of magical thinkers I meant. Sorry.
Mysticism and stuff, that, they love that in the Fash.
Yeah.
There's like a big UKIP vegan kind of contingent.
All the hippies.
They're not UKIP anymore, are they? They're,
like the crystal healing hippies.
Is that
and shit,
a reform?
They should be voting Fash.
Yeah. It cracks me up that the there was a thing in like sometime this earlier this week, I think, about reform not checking up on their candidates before they get in, and one of them was like a BNP guy or something before, previously served the BNP, and is like, what the fuck do they think reform is?
Yeah.
It's BNP in a suit. You know, it's still a fascist party, no matter what you look at. You know, whatever we look at, it, fucking hell.
Exactly. That's it's the Pikachu thingy face. Like, I mean, I get that they should have checked that guy that got done for domestic abuse. He shouldn't be an MP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he shouldn't be standing. Oh, yeah, but ultimately, none of these fuckers should be allowed to stand. But you know, that's the other thing. It's Martin Rachel from Accounts is getting in trouble because the parliamentary standards or whatever it is are looking into non-declared durations. But uh-oh. I mean, but that's bullshit anyway. All it is we're not corrupt. We've declared that we've been bought by, you know, big pharma or big tobacco or big oil. We've declared it, so that means it's not corruption. Fuck off.
One of my favourite corruption sort of under the table stories from the BNP was when the BNP were like quite at the height of their power and they had a few seats in the European Union, European Parliament rather, and they had their two offices, their national office and their European office next to each other, and they actually had a power cable going from the European office into their national office so that they could siphon off electricity from their European expenses.
I mean, you know what? I original thinking. That. Yeah, that's quite clever. Original.
Yeah, I'm okay
thinking.
With that.
they just got some extension cables. And
yeah, that's like anarchism from the other side, sort of thing.
I'm going to put the kettle on.
It won't suit you.
Yeah,
I will continue to make those jokes forever. I'm sorry.
Might not come back after that.
Right. I better not mention what we're actually here for until he comes back. Just, you know, more nonsense before it.
No. I mean, I've got some thoughts, but it's obviously a very much a setup episode, isn't it? So
yeah, but let's just hang fire until Drew comes back. Yeah. I'll moan about my driving test again if you want, about the theory test. Oh.
Yeah.
It was telling me yesterday, this is the thing, I was 100% ready for my multiple choice theory test, and then I did another one, made one mistake in it. So instead of getting 100% in the test, I got 98% in the test, or 96%, one of the two, because 2 points per thing anyway, because of 50 questions. So anyway, I got one or two wrong. And it suddenly put my little gauge saying I was not 100% ready to 99. It's like, you can't put it backwards. That's not fair. I mean, I haven't failed one of the multiple choice tests at all. Even when I took one, I skimmed through the materials and then took one right away before I knew about a lot of, you know, basically just from, you know, sensible stuff and knowledge. And I didn't fail one. I've not failed one yet. I've learned more about how to game the clicky test. I mean, all that part of the test teaches you is how to play that part of the test. It's like pinball. It's like you've got to be able to shake the table without getting a tilt. That's basically what it is. You can't click in a pattern, and you can't click too many times.
No.
But you click too early, you get zero, in their opinion. But the point is that as we've discussed, the point where it's actually, you know. But
yeah.
So what I've been doing is, instead of just clicking once and it's gone right, like basically a good person would click once where they think the 5-point thing is and stop. And the problem is I'm a good person and also an autistic rule follower. So you've got that going. So I was just clicking it where I thought, and then, you know, but I realised you can click it without going mad. You can click it a few times around where you think it is, and you've got more chance of hitting one of the actual points. So it's literally what I said. I was just saying to Chris, Drew, it's like the clicky test thing is like It's like playing pinball, but trying not to get tilt on the table. You've got to sort of game it. However,
it sounds like horseshit.
It is. Everywhere I look, people are saying it's horseshit, and nobody else seems
to. Is it one of those things where if you fail that part, you fail the whole thing, or is it a weighted?
No, you fail the test. Yeah, if you don't get a pass mark in that, you fail the test.
I feel like that shouldn't be marked by a band. Like, there should be an instructor with
you. It's the scoring system that people complain about, mainly. Mm. Some people see the value in the thing, but I don't, because it's... I can sort of see the value in it, but it's you know, you're looking at a flat video.
That's what the physical test is for.
Exactly.
That's what the practical test is.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well, I mean,
they should
employ children to run out in front of you.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they survive, you pass.
Yeah, exactly, that's it. So anyway, I've only failed one of them. I've only failed the first one. I've taken it 6 or 7 times. I've only failed the first one, but... A, I like to get 100%, and B, you know, it's so inconsistent how the points are applied. Mm. And even what Drew said, because Drew said something the first time I talked about it, which would make it fairer. It wouldn't make any more sense, but it would make it fairer, where you have a build-up to the 5 point and then a rundown. So the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 as a point system, that would be better. Mm. Rather than if you click before, you get nothing.
The point beyond which, like the point after which you should have, that should be 0 points.
Yeah, exactly. It's too late.
But too early.
Yeah, if you see kids running around in the distance, you're going to react. However,
what's the problem with being too early? I mean, okay, the traffic behind you might not be expecting
because the test is a pedantic, inconsistently presented thing.
Yeah, because it's not about
anticipation, it's about reaction. That's what they're claiming.
Mm. But like,
some of them
are
so unfair.
Yeah, if there are kids running about and playing, like, you react earlier, because then you don't want the car behind you to back into you.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, there's so much.
Slow down more gradually earlier.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly how I was reading it when I was taking the thing. I was clicking when I would think about laying off the accelerator or maybe braking gently or whatever. The one thing I've read, though, on a forum somebody was talking about somewhere, I think it might have been Reddit, was that they said that this is one sort of clue which has kind of made a bit of a difference and I think might work, is they said, think about when you would look in your mirror and sort of aim for that rather than what you see on the road. So if you're going to slow down the car, you're going to look in the mirror first.
It's a bad test.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you do have to game it, yeah. And you've got to click a few times. I managed to trigger it once today because I was kind of pushing it deliberately to see where it would go. And I was clicking too many times. Although this video, it was like fucking Grand Theft Auto, one of the questions. There was like people running everywhere and I was like, what the fuck? But oh no, that didn't develop into an actual thing. That was just close to one. It's like, fuck off, you.
I mean, it's like an actual simulation would be better.
Yeah, because then you could push pedals and steer and they could test it on that. But having to click a mouse... And
well,
again,
even if it's keyboard control, but an actual, like a 3D, licensed GTA for the DVLA.
But there's one that I've been through so many times, and it is absolute bullshit. They expect you to, right, there's a line of traffic at a junction, there's cars waiting to turn across the carriageway, so they're turning right in front of, you know, coming at you to turn right. And there's a cyclist on a motorbike coming down the inside, you know, inside them on their right. Now, I was clicking when I saw the motorcyclist coming along into the queue of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody puts their indicator on that little queue of traffic once they're at the junction, and you're supposed to click at that. So it's zero until that indicator goes on. The indicator is not visible until you get way closer on the actual video. It's not visible. I don't care what anybody says. I've frame by framed it, and I can see that it's not visible in the video at all until you get there. They know what's happening, and or they've seen a higher quality video or something. Fuck knows. I don't know. But what they're looking at and what you're looking at is two different things. I hope the screens are really big as well, because the video is fuzzy and low res. Although it's CGI that they use for the actual
Oh, do they now?
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of them look quite realistic, but then you see the if you stop sort of scanning and look close up at some, you go, oh wait a minute, you know, or some of the humans walking by are like, and there's one bit where a dog runs in the road and it's like, no dog is that colour. You know, it's meant to be one of those white and liver coloured spaniels, but the colour's like quite bright and garish. Anywho, I promise I will stop moaning about this, assuming I pass tomorrow.
Fingers crossed. Also, before we move on, we are in breach of BBC impartiality laws, so a couple of reasons why you should vote, Vash.
Yeah, do not vote. Yeah, if you're voting, I don't think anybody's going to see this video in time because it's 10 o'clock, the polls close, but yeah, if you're going to vote today, fuck it, I don't care. Impartiality laws. Yeah. If you're going to vote today in any of the by-elections, mayoral elections, or council elections, yeah, try to vote green because it's pretty much all that's left that isn't neoliberal nonsense or fascism.
Although in the local elections, sometimes there are some decent
sometimes independents. If you are going to vote for an independent as well, look into them first and see why they're independent.
Yeah. We had an independent leaflet come through, and he had, like, basically, it was the president man of leaflets, standing up for local people. I'm not part of a party. Like, as if that's their entire life philosophy, is I'm just not.
That's one of the problems with independents. If they're not going to work with a party, they're just taking up a seat and doing fuck all.
Yeah. And also, the thing that got me, right, so they're an independent, they're an existing, like, local councillor of some type, and they're, like, going up to the county council authority. They haven't said anything about what they've done in their current role.
Out for that.
Give me a list of things you've done.
The Lib Dems are really, really guilty of this, and they've been brought up for it a lot of times by the whatever the parliamentary standards are, but they keep doing it, is they put misleading graphs at the back. Yeah, can win here except, you know, insert here Tory, Labour, whatever, or the Lib Dems, and then they put this bar graph, which is like some sort of weird logarithmic scale or something on it, you know.
Yeah, or it's like from the local elections in 1984 or something.
This information.
European Union elections 2000.
Please think about it. If you're going to vote at all, please think about it. Fair enough. Also, if you do want to vote for cunts, you vote for cunts. If you're a cunt and you want to vote for cunts, what can we say? But if you don't want to vote for cunts, please vote for somebody that's, you know, a decent independent or green.
It's not much to ask. Just kill a few billionaires.
A few billionaires gone. This is the thing. If they kill millions of us, as they're doing in, you know, Gaza and Middle East, Africa, all over the place, it's a percentage. Whereas if you kill maybe two or three billionaires, evening the things up really closely, you know.
What about a radical political party, right, with one policy, which is guillotine billionaires? Nothing else, no other policy, right?
I think there might be some local laws that have something against that, unfortunately. So they wouldn't let
It'd have to be a national party, so you could set the national law.
Yeah, but local laws, as in, you know, each country would have laws against guillotining people, even if they're fucking idiots or millionaires or both.
We own you for a reason, do what we say.
And also, like, deal with the blowback. Like, we're going to kill the billionaires. Sure, it might be illegal by international law or whatever. We'll deal with it, but we'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody else just ignores it when they're bombing children, you know. We can bomb children.
We'll pay the fine.
Our benefit system is now illegal under some human rights.
Because of the, I think it's, I can't remember if it's the starving children or freezing pensioners part, but one of those has fallen into. I think it's the child poverty thing.
If we've got starving children and freezing pensioners, I can think of a modest proposal.
Burn some billionaires and the billionaires.
Use the children as fuel.
Oh, no, you are a secret Tory then, aren't you? Sorry, that was out of
stuff. I would say it was a modest proposal.
reference. Yeah. But also, I thought, because I was thinking it was like what we do to the disabled people to get to make them claim their benefit. Go through.
Oh, it could be that one. Yeah, and... there's so many cruelties going on. It's hard to tell which one's the one that's actually currently... pushed it far enough to break any laws. Yeah.
Currently, with my anxiety disorder, because they've cut my benefits, I now have to prove that I'm mental by having anxiety-inducing calls every fortnight.
Yeah, helpful, isn't it? Mm. Yeah, they used to do that to me. They make you fill out a form every so often. It's like, this is, you know.
Are you still mental? Yes, no.
Yeah, well, if it was that simple, it would be quite a different thing, yeah. But unfortunately, they make it as... Yeah, so... Oh, that was the other thing. We should warn people while we're on video. If you're in the UK and you get a survey form from, I think it's the DWP that are sending them out, asking you about how you spend your PIP. That is, well, it should be illegal, but it's a voluntary thing, and B, it's a scam. Do not answer those kind of things. If you're getting benefits, nobody has the right to ask you what to spend it on. It's your right to survive. You have a right to be alive. If you've got a wee bit extra over and above what it takes to pay for your electricity, your food, and your rent or whatever, you know, and you want a meal out or a pack of cigarettes or a chocolate bar or whatever, fuck them. That's, you know, you've got some dignity and privacy rights, you know, as much as there are left.
Yeah. Oh, and also, just going back to the fash, Reform and the right-wing fascist parties tend to be quite bad at putting what's called an imprint on their election leaflets. So on all election leaflets, there should be some writing at the bottom saying where it was published, who was the election agent, all that kind of stuff. But I noticed this with UKIP and subsequent UKIP variants, is that sometimes they forget, and if someone was to call into the electoral commission and just point that out. I did get
a mail shot from the Reforms.
I do.
But I opened the envelope, saw Reform, screwed it up, put it in the bin.
That's the correct method. Oh, I've got.
They don't make very good toilet paper, unfortunately.
No,
the glossy. It's just.
It's the glossiness. Yeah.
Hang on, you get glossy? Oh, mine's just like inkjet printer printed.
Oh, they must not have a chance of winning a seat there. Then,
I'm in rural Staffordshire. We don't get glossy around here.
Well, you're getting decent paper then for wiping your ass. Yeah.
There was one leaflet that was so obviously from Reforming the General. It was a ChatGPT written leaflet.
You're going to start getting that kind of shit. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god, yeah.
Well, this is the, you know. Oh, I'm not even, no. I'm going to start down a really angry path if I start exploring this too deeply. You know, don't hit two of my buttons at once, you bugger. You know?
in lighter news.
Oh yes.
I am satisfied.
Show the cat.
Laconia is actually does have interesting aliens and stuff.
It's got aliens.
Yep, well, that was the first thing I was going to say, that I think I sort of hinted at it a little bit for Chris, was I intimated that I think Chris will be happier with the sci-fi-ness of this, of Laconia over Illus.
Yes.
For a start, they've got some greenery, they've got some alien creatures, and, you know, so it's a bit of a teaser, that, though, for... You know, they don't really go very far with that. Did you get Did you get the gist of what the scene was, though? Because there's a sort of underlying little thing that happens, but it's very hard. It's very easy to be distracted by all the CGI.
I was distracted a bit by it because then the bird injured, and I didn't know what injured the bird.
Right. Did you not see what she did? The little girl sort of inadvertently caused it.
Did she pick it up, or
no? Are you watching it again? I feel like you're looking over at something else.
Yeah. No. I'm watching it, and I don't see what she did.
She's eating some snacks, some human snacks, and she throws something.
Oh,
down.
Right.
And the little bird that, or the little creature that goes for that, is the one that gets ill.
Ah, bingo.
Yeah.
Oh.
So she didn't mean it, but you know.
She gave it a bit of Pop-Tart.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I must admit, every time I watch that, I'm waiting for the thing that she goes, no, you're some sort of dog, to just suddenly go,
yeah,
that's just a tentacle or something that you see that it's not a head, you know.
Waiting for Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. those are some of the best surprise aliens ever, those ones.
Little cherubic things. That's a good film, that is.
Great film, yeah.
So
Star Trek film.
Has Inaris just basically got all of the space stations now that...
They showed a map with ones that have... So some have declared for...
Including Ganymede, right?
Really?
Yeah, I think so. But I think so. It's certainly some of the inner the outer planet.
I mean, Ganymede would be important.
Yeah, Ganymede's a cheap place, isn't it? But, right, we also learn, and thankfully Philip is starting to see... that Marco is not what he says and what he does are two very different things. And it's now shown that while he's talking about being a protector and unifier of the belt, he's actually just a warmonger who's extracting everything he can.
Marco's obviously got a bit of PTSD or whatever from doing the genocides.
Philip has.
Yes, Philip. Philip.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so because he's clearly like a dickhead as well.
Yeah, can we do one thing at a time? You're confusing me. Marco, talk about Marco for a bit. Philip's stuff is actually reasonably interesting for the first time in the whole series.
Well, so the Marco stuff, Marco is starting to look a bit more like a comic book villain type guy. Like
it's getting worse in that respect.
Been quite a bit, though.
When he was like bargaining for his life with
that was good.
I want to see
more. He's got more comic book villain as it's gone on. Yeah,
yeah, and maybe that's sort of like his confidence is growing, or his, you know, he's becoming more secure in his goals.
Believing
his own shite. So, yeah. Which is a bit of a shame because I really thought that they could have set him up to be a much more sympathetic villain.
Well,
they've more nuanced.
Yeah, but they've taken that down completely by showing that he's interested in war and nothing else, basically. However, in a way, that kind of does harken back to his attitude when he was talking to Ashford. You know, that sort of, if you kill me, it doesn't matter, as long as everything will burn, that's all he cared about, you know, so...
Well, I think it's part of Belter culture, honestly. When we first meet Anderson Dawes, he talks about his legend. And that's a thing that comes up several times. They seem to have like a somewhat oral tradition where there are known personalities who have a known legend. He talks about it again when he's talking.
Yeah, and they've got nicknames that go with it in this sort of style of like, you know, Vikings or whatever. Because exactly, Ashford is, what's Ashford? Is he the knife in the shadows or something like that?
I don't want to say knife
in the dark, because Blade in the Dark, Lord of the Rings.
Definitely has a legend. And then when Dawes is talking to young, what's young fella we enjoyed in the early seasons?
Diego.
When he's talking to Diego, he's like, your legend's almost as good as mine now. Like, you know, this idea of personal legends, personal heroes seems to be important to them. So if you got that in your head and you're like, how can I have maximum legend? Then it's, you know, it's the path Marco's going down.
Possibly. Also, well, before I forget, we know now that Dawes has been killed as well. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Dawes
unfortunately, just mentioned off on, you know, he's off screen killed by, because there was a bit of time meant to have passed, and you know, he says that he's killed Dawes. I mean, they couldn't get the actor back, so that they couldn't really.
It's
do
a shame
anything
that because he was such a great fucking character. We lost after season three. We lost, you know, Miller, great fucking character. He's kind of, I mean, he's a bit in season four, but yeah, we lose Dawes, who's a great fucking character, and
Johnson's
killed
a good character.
Series,
yeah.
We are actually lacking for like genuinely good
extra people. Yeah, external to the main crew Bobby and Avicerala. There's not much else. There aren't as good characters as there were. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm hoping that Drummer's gonna come back. Come back as
no.
The
she got died by when she got crushed between those two big vehicles, mate.
Ah, okay. Okay, I confuse all the Belters look alike.
yeah.
But yeah, so Philip, I think he's more of an asshole this episode than the last.
Well,
series.
I think I'm slightly more sympathetic to him because really? He's being an arsehole because of
he's acting out because he's because
of how he's guilty conscience, and I can see why that makes him get increasingly agitated by his friend who's kind of hanging on his coattails and telling everybody what heroes they are. He's not like trying to steal it, he's literally bigging up Philip as well, you know.
But he, even given that, like he's acting out in a twatish way.
He is a child. That's the point. He is a child.
Still, I mean, he's a late teener, like he's 18 or something.
18 or 19
like,
or something.
He's being a twat to women, he's being a twat to his friend, you know. Like, I get it, he's going through some stuff, but. You know, it's not
genocide will have that effect, won't you?
Genocide,
Well, no, hang on a minute. Is it this? Are we putting the cart before the horse? Is it in order to go along with the genocide, you have to be a twat, and this is just him?
Oh, maybe, maybe you've got a thing there. Yeah, maybe you've got a point.
Yeah.
Do good people commit genocide?
No,
I mean, I think people can get like indoctrinated and blah blah blah.
Everybody point at once. There we go. Looks like we're trying to make an Atari symbol on the screen.
That's one you might get a t-shirt for.
No, because far too many fucking kids who don't know what it is, or far too many... It's become a hipster thing. So I wouldn't wear an Atari symbol now, or a Commodore 1 or anything like that, because that's been hijacked by hipsters. That's why I love slight obscurity.
We need to go back further and wear like a deck logo.
Ooh, you get them.
It's a good logo as well.
And also, there was a cool one that I was considering, which was a Cray 2. You know how they had the supercomputer, the Cray 2 had that sort of like furniture sort of space the secret, type secret design, the seats and stuff. Yeah.
And we're also introduced to a new character. This lady who's Marco's right hand.
That's not
man.
New. She's not new.
She's not new.
No.
Isn't she?
No.
Where have we seen her before?
On where he is at the station. Hang on, I'll bring up
series.
The... He's at he's at series at this point, isn't he? Because he's talking about women. No, she was in it before. Not like hugely prominent, but she did, you know, she was a talking part and all that sort of thing.
Okay, cool.
Hang on, and I will get you.
Oh, also, hang on. Marco and Iris's hair is now like
crazy.
Obeying the laws of gravity.
Yeah, it's a crazy hair thing he's got going on, isn't it?
He's on Palace Station, right?
I thought they're on series.
Series, yeah.
On series, yeah.
Hang on a second.
We're back on series.
Right.
Oh, that explains the hair being down. Okay, I get you.
They've got a bit of gravity there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, right, okay, I tell you what, I can tell you the list of places that he's got, major places he's got for him. Lapithus, Prospero, Vesta, Ganymede, you're right, Ganymede Station says, Tycho and Ceres. Wait a second, where is this thing? Ah, there we go, yeah, Ceres is where they are, yep, Ceres is where they are at the thing.
Her
name
Eros.
Is Rosif. Yeah, her name's Rosenfeld Guilang, whatever. She's an OPA. She's an OPA leader from
Sweden.
You know what? It says she only appears in series 6. Why the fuck have I got her in my head then? I'm sure she's been in. Wait a minute, am I looking at the TV or the books? TV. Well, yeah, the actress wouldn't be in the books. That would be impossible. I almost read something out loud that would have been a spoiler there. She must have come up in a, you know, this is another character related to what you're talking about, and I've clicked it sometime recently. But I could have sworn she was in it before. First appearance this episode,
I've just seen Marco in his man bun.
Yeah, you don't want to have that look, do you, Chris?
I mean, I think I pull it off better than him, but I don't know.
Hang on, everybody.
I mean, may I just say, I'm I'm done with mopey Naomi.
Yeah.
Every for the last three seasons, she's just had something to fucking mope about.
Well, they're all sort of playing up the moping about Alex thing, aren't they?
Well, it's moping about Alex, but also it's moping about Clarissa. I'm just like, Clarissa is a more interesting character than you. If you're going to make me choose.
Hang on, I'll make Chris big. Hang on. Right, Chris, you're big. But you've not got your man bun anymore. You don't have enough hair.
No. But I'm in front of the man. See, you can see the man bun.
Right, okay. If you move to the right, you're left, sorry.
And up.
Stage right. Move stage right. Oh, no, I wanted to see him again. I wanted to see him clearly.
Stage right.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a long face, hasn't he?
No, yeah. That's just Chris's videos have all got that bad aspect ratio.
Oh, right, okay.
It's aspect ratio, that's
yeah, Chris,
it.
Chris's videos, yeah. Chris's stills always seem to come up with the wrong aspect ratio.
He's got Mondiglione.
No, it's because the aspect ratio is... Yeah, it's like
oh, it's
we are
when you put it in the background, the aspect ratio
is
wrong.
Yeah, we're 16 by 9, but the show is letterboxed. Yeah, which is weird. Like, I've noticed this with the Andor with Star Wars is that they're letterboxing it as well, but it's like, it's on TV, why not fill the TV? Why are they letterboxing
it? I'm okay with different
if there's a point
I'm done with wide, like, though. I want 4-3, and some things are 4-3 now, which is cool.
Are they
at least
it's a poor example, but the Snyder cut of the Justice League was it was full IMAX, and IMAX full IMAX is 4:3.
Sure?
I mean, 4:3 is a good ratio, but I mean, just film.
Usually
screen.
They crop it. Usually stuff filmed in IMAX. IMAX has got so much information in it that you can crop down to whatever resolution you want.
Oh, I see.
But
right.
A full IMAX frame is 4:3. I don't know if it's exactly 4:3, but it's very close to 4:3.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, we know that 99.9% of televisions are 16 by 9. Just make your TV 16 by 9. Don't be a hipster about it.
Yeah, but widescreen for films existed before that, so...
Yeah, for films.
Doing it for TV is hipsterish, so yeah, you're right, you've got a point.
I do think there's a tendency to just use wide because it's cinematic.
Cinematic, yeah.
Which is bollocks. That's a bollocks reason. But use the correct aspect ratio for what you're doing, whether it's wide, whether it's 16:9, whether it's tall.
Yeah, for what the content is.
Okay. But this is the unpopular opinion. There's a place for vertical video.
I don't really mind vertical video, honestly.
But yeah, because if most people are watching stuff on their phone, you've got to feel the phone. You know, if you're doing short form video content, vertical video makes sense.
Turn the fucking phone!
No, because this is how you naturally hold it ergonomically
Ergonomically? No, it's not. It's like a fucking. It's one of the most awkward things in the universe to hold.
Exactly,
No, it is, but it's easier to hold it upright.
You hold it like that, right? That's the easiest way to hold it without dropping it, right?
There's no
comfortable way to hold the phone.
No, there is. Just hold it one hand.
That's... Yeah, but you accidentally push the buttons and shit.
It's not ideal, but it's more comfortable that way than that way.
You're not going to win me over this.
I don't watch video on my phone. I watch all video on my monitor.
Yeah,
if it's vertical on my monitor with pillar bars,
it doesn't bother me.
I get into it.
Oh no, not that narrow though. No, but
I would say there's a place for 1x1 because it's got the ultimate versatility. But that's about. And 4x3 kind of has a degree of that.
Yeah. Well, because
there's a it's like have a reason for your aspect ratio.
Than hipsterness.
Other than hipsterness, yeah. If you do a vertical video, that makes sense. If you do cinematic stuff for the cinema, that makes sense because obviously one suits the audience. Or the
while game. I'm moaning about modern young people's technology, they also had the car. Thing they have it for the phone, like an app for your phone. Imagine looking at these videos that size, fuck's sake. You can barely see them on a monitor,
I mean I don't watch things on a video on a phone. At best I listen to a podcast on my phone. That's where I go if I need my
I hate poor audio quality. It just does my head in.
Well, I mean, I'll put it on through a speaker, like I'll Bluetooth speaker it.
Yeah, but the actual phones, I don't care how expensive your phone is, it's still not that good quality.
I mean, that's just
and it's compression and internet storage.
Yeah, like that's. Like, I mean, and also when it's podcast, it doesn't,
it doesn't matter. It's talking. Matters as much. Yeah, it's just chat. Yeah,
yeah, it's just chat.
Okay, I mean, okay, I'll stand corrected on that. I'll de-grump that one level. That, I mean, that, sure that was a reaction to phones rather than a
phones are shit.
I mean, if I could snap my fingers and undo the world of phones, I totally would. Even though there are some advantages, there are also like a world of
disadvantages. I'd go back to the Scions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd change history so that the Scion takes over rather than the iPhone.
Or the Palm. Or the Palm. Palm was nice.
Palm was nice. Scion's the one with the cool key, the actual cool. It's a clamshell one that opens in a cool way. And has,
was
like,
it blue?
A proper keyboard.
Well,
there's all different ones. I mean, Scion, I can't remember the model number.
Organizer. But I know which one you mean. The phones came out. Yeah.
No,
the phone versions of them were later.
No, you're not
talking about that.
Hang on, let me find the one.
Oh, he's talking about something else.
This one.
I mean, honestly, I don't mind the design. Like, if it was just an open standard type thing with phones, like what we got with our desktop, I'd be okay largely for it.
Is that one of the things about? Yeah, that's a five. Yeah, Scion 5.
Yeah, the one that the screen just slides down in a cool way. And it's got a proper keyboard.
I put it on the screen for the audience. I tell you what, it's boasting 24 megabytes, that one.
Ooh.
And it's also German? I'm not sure about
that. Look at that. Look at that beautiful keyboard.
It is beautiful.
Just very tiny laptops, basically. That's the way things should have gone.
Palm ones were good. A company called Handspring?
Yeah, it's Handspring. They used
Palm OS, and they made a phone, and it was beautiful.
And
it did the job.
I like Palm OS.
You could still have all that shit.
Mm.
You don't need this super long or super wide, whichever way you want to look at it, bollocks, right? You could have a reasonable thing. And a hinge and a keyboard and, you know, fucking hell.
And this is going to be contentious, but stylus is better than finger point.
Stylus is always better than fingers. Yep.
I think this is going to be one of those things.
But you're going to say something stupid and we're going to disagree with
you. Here's my selling point. You can point at something while still seeing it.
All I got to say is I think this is an old versus young kind of thing. You know, like, I...
No, it's sensible and practical versus hipsters.
I don't know if flipping open a mini... No, I like them, but if you're just on the bus and you just want to check your emails, flipping open
I'm going to stop you right there.
Beside the point. The palms weren't flippy. They were just like a...
There were different ones. Okay, but here's the thing.
With a stylus.
You can use this one-handed. Yes, you can.
What kind of fucking fingers have you got? I cannot use them one-handed. No,
with
I can't.
Like that.
Everything gets clicked.
Here's the thing, right?
It's possible, but then I can do it with my dick as well.
Hamish, that's because you're... I'm afraid to say it's because you're old, right? If you grow up with these things, you learn the dexterity required to use them.
But a stylus is inherently more dexterous.
I'm not dexterous
two-handed,
enough.
No. You're old.
A stylus is inherently more dexterous. So you're starting.
You lose them.
Are you going to write? You're losing
the ability to wank. What are you doing with your other hand while you're using your phone?
What else are you doing with your phone?
I mean, that's fair enough. The wanking argument is fair enough.
It depends how strong the vibration setting is. Anyway, that took a strange turn after a few minutes.
From man buns to...
As soon as you said, well, if you're on the bus and you're checking your emails, that's when I thought, no, fuck off.
Well, what I mean,
I'd have a phone to be a phone. I mean, I still have, my favourite phone is still a little Motorola flip phone. That's a phone.
You've got to accept that phones now are mobile computers.
Yeah, but you can have your hand, you can have your palm thing as well. And then you don't have to have this huge thing for everything. Having it all in one device and making huge compromises is not the same.
Nobody makes phone calls anymore.
I do. I use it for that's
yeah,
what
but
I'm
you're an old man.
90% of what I do with this is phone calls and
I'm like
text.
3 years younger than you, and I haven't made a phone call since 1984.
You don't anything though. You don't go out or anything. You know?
The last time I made a phone call is to the bank, and that's because my bank is shit.
Not anymore, because you switched.
I switched banks to
because they were shit.
Who did you switch from and to? Let's have some advertising.
I switched from. From HSBC, because they were such a fucking boomer bank. You had to ring them at the certain hours of the day. And, you know, and the thing is, their one selling point was they had branches. They closed my fucking local branch, right? They had
took the thing away. Yeah, anyway.
They had shit interest rate on their ISAs and savings account. Their investment offerings.
So you weren't dodging enough tax. Is that what you're... That's what I'm hearing here.
I wasn't getting enough money to dodge the tax.
I'm just making fun.
Their investment stuff required you to ring through their call center if you wanted to really do anything of any meaningness. And then you had to ring through the business hours. It's like, well, why do I want to do business hours? I want to do my banking stuff when I'm sitting in front of the TV with my hand down my trousers, you know? Like, So Monzo almost doubled my savings interest rates. And everything else, you just do through the app. And I know that sucks for like people that don't like apps, but honestly, the HSBC app was just pathetic. And it's like, look, you're using your app as the window into your services, and you've got a shit boomer app. No, either have a good app or have branches, right? Ideally both, but whatever. So I just went with the one with the good app. And also, what's quite good about the Monzo app is that it breaks down all your spending into categories, so you can see how much you're spending on this, how much you're spending on that. It is really good.
This is the angriest I've heard Chris for quite a while.
I hate HSBC and their fucking banking shite.
Oh no, you're gonna have to cover things again.
No, I'm not actually going into it. I'm with that one.
Oh, I think I'm with the Toryist bank. If I say the Toryist bank, I expect you'll know.
Lloyd's,
yeah.
Exactly. How did we get that?
I don't know. It's just got a Tory
vibe.
Just
to think for a second. Well, they're all fucking Tories. Yeah, I almost brought up my bank. If I'd put my thumb against it by accident, I would have brought up account number and sort code and name and my balance, which is all that money I had from my mum is like really draining fast. But then I've paid for like 10 driving lessons, driving test materials. Dentist has cost quite a lot of money. That's over 500 now, I think, for the dentist. I didn't buy another guitar, and I've spent, you know, I've paid bills and things. It's, you know,
money. It just goes through your fingers. It's horrible.
I know. Anyway, I'm going to put away all my personal things before I dox myself again.
Could have been the second time this episode.
Could you hold up your national insurance card for us?
I don't have it anymore, unfortunately.
I've lost mine.
Right, I think I've put that appointment into my computer. Oh, I finally... on good news. There we go. Hamish being actually slightly happy and good news. I've got my... I don't know if I was talking about it previously, Nextcloud, about updating, trying to get it updated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Bang up to date with the very latest version. Worked it out.
Beautiful. How do you update it again? I know I asked you this.
It's sort of built in. You can do it all. But also there's a way... I'm using a server management thing on that particular server. I don't run the others, but I do in that one. And it's got like a little button you can press to do it. Basically, it was I forgot that I'd changed. This annoys me about PHP. Is you can set the PHP any, but on a server where this is where PHP used to be one thing universal to the whole system. Same with Python and all that. What they started doing is having virtual environments with all these things. So you've got a specific version so that if something isn't updated, you can use a specific version of an older version of PHP.
All the things
Python
they invent to work around operating systems that don't have package managers. I fucking hate it.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. Yeah. It's, or they introduce a package management system for a language. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Python's
yeah.
got that.
I've got,
like,
a, package,
no,
I've got a package manager. Fuck off, use
no,
that.
Yeah, it's very... Anyway, the point is, my PHP innie because it was a different version that had upgraded it at some point in the past, and that PHP NE wasn't getting carried over because it was a different version, so they don't want, you know, the server management thing says, I don't want to touch that. That may be for a specific setup or whatever. It's like, no, it's just PHP everywhere. Just fucking put it all the same. Anyway, I fixed that. Boom. It was resource allocation. I think it was memory or something. Or disk space. One of the two, you know, it only allows so much. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, my Nextcloud is now super duper up to date, and you're going to love this, Chris, you're going to love this. My calendar on my computer, so my KDE calendar thing that I'm using, the website one, when you go direct to the Nextcloud, and Chris, and my phone, it's all connected. It's all connected.
So you just get the next. Do you have, is there like a Nextcloud app, or do you use DevEx?
Yeah, both. Yeah, yeah. I've got the Nextcloud app, so I can mess about with files if I need to. But the calendar I've just connected to my DevEx calendars. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've got DevEx for Postio, so it all my. Yeah,
I do like that. At least even all the big ones stuff. Use a standard, at least, because I think Google and stuff actually use DevEx, don't they?
Oh, do they?
I think so. I mean, maybe not. But I thought they used a standard behind everything so that it would. Because, yeah, they must do, because they want you to link all your calendars to Google. We're not spying on you, honest. Yeah. It's only so that it's convenient. But, you know.
DevEx does it for me. And then I've got all my numbers go up to my Postio as well. So.
All your numbers? What numbers?
Phone numbers.
Oh, phone. I thought you said you didn't use the phone. I thought, I don't wonder what numbers you were talking about.
Yeah, but we still use phone numbers, even if we don't use the phone.
That's true. For WhatsApp.
Messaging. Oh, fuck, WhatsApp. Is that how WhatsApp tracks you? It's actually your phone and a phone number. Mm.
You know what, though? To be honest, SMS is such a bullshit system, I'm fine with WhatsApp.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, I'm going to have to make a confession here, aren't I?
You've got a WhatsApp. I know you've got a WhatsApp, because you're British.
No. It might have been installed, but I uninstalled it when I got the new phone. No, I've not got WhatsApp. No. But what I did do was switch on RCS.
Switched
on what?
RCS. Google.
What's RCS?
Google's enhanced SMS thing.
Oh.
Because I've got a Google account, because I've got that. So it's not tracking my email.
So you do actual SMSs as well?
Yeah, that's what I use my phone for.
That's insane.
SMS and phone calls.
Who are you? SMS?
You pay for SMSs. Yeah.
No, it's included. There's so many included.
Yeah, but not for me. I pay as you go, so it's one
pay as
message.
You go,
so I'm pay as you go. Yeah. But I pay a set amount every month to top it up, and I get so many blahs and blahs and blahs.
If I used...
If I used
SMS... If I used SMS at the same rate I use WhatsApp, I'd have no money. I appreciate that SMS is like a system that's not monopolized and relatively universal, but at the same time...
Well, it's not SMS anymore, is it? I mean, sometimes it's got a fallback to SMS, but it's now using whatever Google thinks it wants to use.
I always lose track of all the Google chat apps, isn't it? There's Google.
Well, that's
chat.
The point. Yeah, that's the point. My mum used to try and send me things, and she'd go, "Well, I've sent you a picture." And I'm going, I can't get a picture. It's not.
I was gonna just. Oh,
that was a loud cat noise.
We just got a rare Welshism from Chris.
Oh, what was that?
What was that?
Something chat apps, isn't it?
Isn't it? Oh yeah.
It was lovely.
Yeah, got sent. I sent it on Google. Is that Google Duo, Google Workspaces, Google Chat?
I don't know.
Google Talk, Buzz, Google Plus, YouTube.
The
you know in Scotland that's an insult.
Oh, yeah.
That's an insult.
XMPP.
You know that's an insult in Scotland.
Oh, hang on a minute. Otis is asking me to let him out. Hang on.
Ah, yeah, right. You've locked him in, have you?
Since you asked so nicely.
A little acknowledgement noise there.
Yeah.
Like, you've moved at last, you prick.
Finally.
Finally, yeah. Come on, human, get your act together.
I wanted to go out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I said, you know that's an insult in Scotland. The name of the...
Isn't it?
The name, no, the name of Google's video service.
Ball bag.
I didn't know they had a new video service called Ball Bag. There you go.
What workspace?
YouTube?
YouTube, yeah.
YouTube.
No, YouTube. Still tube. No, it's literally YouTube.
Oh, okay. As in a cock.
But that's not, you're a cock.
Yeah.
But they don't say YouTube, they say YouTube. But
we should rename it YouCock.
YouCock. Where are your videos? YouTube. Oh, YouCock. there was something I saw in the Fedverse this morning on the microblogging, and it was something like, if you've got such and such Google, you know, the Google Ray-Ban glasses, Meta. Did I say it correctly today?
No.
Meta.
Oh, no, like, you guys are saying it wrong
I just met her.
No, that would be met her. See, I can speak proper English. I'm not like you.
Don't pronounce H's. The French invaded us for a reason.
Meta. What, like, it's not M-E-E-T-A. It's M-E-T-A.
I mean, we need to ask the ancient Greeks how they pronounced it, I guess.
But like metaphysics.
Well, it's like Amiga versus Omega. Metaphysics. That was annoying, because some maths teachers would say Amiga, and some maths teachers would say Omega. Or Omega.
Omega, if you say it properly.
Omega. Yeah, sorry, Omega, that's the other one. No,
I thought you were saying the Spanish for a female friend.
No. Alpha to Omega.
Alpha to Omega.
No, it's ridiculous.
It is Omega.
That doesn't sound right.
Well, it is.
How do you know? It's only the oral
Doctor
tradition.
Doctor Who.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Checkmate.
Checkmate. Atheist. Yeah. Hang on. Don't make me get the ruler out.
That's a rule.
That was a deliberate test. That's how sad I am.
Hey, we took all that time to work out the difference between a ruler and a rule.
You're going to remember it now, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god, I've got to remember what's in the fucking sandwiches every day, which I always struggle with. But damn, I can remember the difference between
What sandwiches do you do, and what are like the top three?
They're different all the time. But you've got like a coronation chickpea. You got like sun dried tomato and gherkins.
Well, the gherkins are on it.
Yeah.
So you don't make proper sandwiches, just vegan hipster ones.
Well, we do like a plant-based cheese and tomato.
Is that a veggie?
Have you got cheese and pickle?
Yeah. It's full plant-based.
You got cheese and pickle?
No, don't do cheese and pickle. This is a very fancy bakery.
Cheese and pickle.
Though. I like the way you use the word fancy when what you really mean is up its own arse, hipstery.
But it's very good.
It would fit in round here. Round here is like that.
Mm. It's. I mean, it's excellent quality, but it's like expensive.
So yep.
It's
like... Again,
how much for a sandwich?
Oh, like £4.
That's not
too bad.
Outrageous.
How much do you think a burger is in Midsomer Norton from one of those kind of... That's the town next to me. How much do you think a burger would be from the...
£18.
You're not far off.
£7? Oh, no.
£12.
Yeah.
And that's a...
Yeah.
Is that a burger meal?
No. That's a burger. And it's usually not that big, and but they do like vegan and all that stuff as well. But it's gourmet burgers. The takeaway, the fast food takeaway place, is about £7 for a burger.
Mm-hmm.
But in that place, because I was in there last week, yeah, it's that kind of. Yeah. But it's filling though. It's not like a McDonald's. You don't need like three of them to fill you up. But I went in there with Mad Killer of Mad Killer fame from the internet from here, friend of the Polar Bear Extended Universe. I went in with him and another one of our mates, and they wanted Now the thing is, Mad Killer had sent me a picture of a menu, and I thought, well, that looks that's quite expensive, but some of that looks really nice. That's great.
Mm.
Of course, what he had sent me was the evening menu, not the daytime menu. And at evening, they become like a fast food takeaway type place. Same, all the same stuff, but they've got like a much more, because there was a one that was like a sort of chicken Kiev type thing, and I thought, well, that looks all right. But I went in, and it was like, there was a big board on the wall with only four choices, and two of them were like, well, one of them was like mega vegan, one was quite vegan, one was vegetarian, and one was a normal burger. So I was like grumpy as fuck from that point on. I'm not paying £12 for a burger that I don't really want when I can go to the takeaway, halfway up the street and get one for £7 that I know I'll enjoy,
Or get two for basically the same price.
Well, yeah, you're not far wrong there, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, they got those. They're quite big. They're quite good value. And I was looking at it thinking, is it? No, it's not. But yeah, people around here will pay insane amounts of money for. They won't. You can't keep a well. There's actually a new bookshop opened in Midsummer Norton, which might be interesting to see if it does well. But you can't keep a fucking bookshop open around here. But you can keep a overpriced food place. And I mean, there's like three or four of them. There's one that does. There's one or two that do, you know, takeout, cafe type stuff. There's one that does ready meals, but fancy ready meals, and it's not a bad idea, and it's in and of itself. But of course, they're slightly more expensive than they would be. It's because we're so close to Bath that people think they're in Bath, and the business rates are all charged as if you're in Bath. But the food, you know, the traffic coming through is terrible. You know, I'm talking about the next town over because that's where I had my shop, so I know it quite well, and well, I've lived there as well, but. Yeah, but there's been a couple of attempts to have a bookshop in Midsummer Norton, can't keep it. Charity shops, there are one, two, three, four, five, six charity shops on a high street that is only takes you like 5 minutes maximum to walk the whole length of this high street. There's five charity shops.
And but charity shops don't have to pay the same business rates, which is one of the reasons.
But also, but obviously people are shopping in them as well.
I love a good charity shop.
But it's like, I'd like the town centre to have a few things in it that weren't.
I got to be honest, this is my spicy hot take. I think the town centre's on its way out. It's waning at this point.
Well, it is because of online stuff,
Because the fact of the matter is we have invented a better system and
no we haven't we had an option at a better system where shops could get to us through the internet and we threw it all away and gave it all to one billionaire.
No, there's plenty of other.
I've deleted my Amazon account and I'm buying everything individually.
I think there's value with the centralization. Like it could be super. You know, it could be super efficient. You know, like. Vans delivering stuff to people.
Yeah.
Routes are optimized. Blah blah blah.
It's mega exploited and.
And obviously that's. But then again, high street shops are just, you know, they're exploitive too, right? Like it's not like people were raking it in. And workers' rights was great, particularly on the high street either.
But it's more visible if they're not.
Not really.
And in your local, if somewhere's a shit place to work, people in local towns will know about it.
When I was doing the name and shame of people paying below minimum wage, it was vast majority of them were small businesses.
But they can't. A lot of them can't afford it, though. That's the problem.
Shouldn't be in business then if you can't pay people enough.
I never did that. I always paid at least a minimum. I usually paid.
I think you weren't paying yourself minimum wage though, right?
Oh God, nowhere near.
That's nowhere near that.
But I mean, like the thing is, as well, is that like you see a lot of local councils throw gobs of money at trying to revive the high street, only for basically the surviving businesses to be chains or, you know, when they could be putting that money into parks. People use parks, right? It's not just throwing money at
make these buildings public, you know, libraries and like workshops for makers and stuff
that's
like
what
that.
They did. Yeah, that's a better idea, but they've shut all that down. They've shut down and moved the library into the council offices and it's all very crammed in now.
But at least the high street is thriving, right?
No,
because of all the money that
charity shops and
few yeah, that's what we're saying. It's all charity shops.
Yeah, it's just so depressing to me to watch them put so much money. But it doesn't want to survive.
But you know your town is bad and in a bad state when you've got the vultures moving. So your pawnbrokers, your wheel buy anything. You know, you're these kind of things, and we've had that for a few years now.
I mean, you could say that as well with betting shops. Betting shops on the high street seem to be doing quite well, even though fucking betting apps exist, which terrify the fuck out of me because the breaking impulse that you need to be able to gamble away your life savings on an app. In your pocket, you're watching Coronation Street, and the ad break comes on, and it's you're getting a bit bored, you're getting a bit fidgety, and then you notice, oh, there's an Arsenal game on in tomorrow, and you've just blown 30 quid. You know, like it's just, I would, if in the dictatorship of Chris, I'd ban gambling apps.
Only tangentially related, but you know, Danny's on her tour through America and stuff. She plays this solitaire game on her phone where you can win real money, and. She'd had a good night on it and made some money and wanted to withdraw it, but she couldn't because she was in a state where gambling was illegal. She had to wait till the next day till she crossed the state lines, and then she could get her money out. You can pay money into it in that state, but you can't get money out.
Yeah. Oh, it should be the other way around.
Oh, one of the first things I do if I go to like a new poker site online is if I put a bit of money in, I'll use, like, you usually get a bonus and things, so I'll use that and try and make a little bit more than what I put in and withdraw it all and make sure that it works quickly. Because otherwise you're like, nah, these guys are, you know, they're pushing the rules to the extremes to get away with it sort of thing. And
I remember, okay, so this is going to surprise no one, but do you remember, you know, Brave browser, the awful browser that we...
Is that the homophobic one?
The homophobic browser, and also the one that changes links.
Terrible logo as well.
Terrible logo.
That's the worst thing about it, you know.
Although, well, actually, to be fair, I think orange is an okay color for a logo. There aren't too many. Like, blue would be the worst color. But anyway, that aside, and you know, and they changed their affiliate links so that they're their own affiliate links. So they're changing the content they're presenting to you literally to just skim off the top. But that aside, they have or had a crypto.
To be honest, can I
pay the?
Yeah, just on that point. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem that bad to me compared to the fact that that's what's happening anyway.
I know what you mean. The
browser,
if you're
giving the browser and search people a cut for a free product, you know, by following those affiliate links. What difference does it make who put the original affiliate link into the stream of it? Mm-hmm. Google do it as well, don't they? I mean, that's what Google do. Surely it's Google results. Google's results are paid.
No. If you're on a website and it's got a support this website,
they do this on websites. Oh, I thought you meant on searches and things. Oh no.
I still kind of feel like
it's affiliate. The affiliate scheme is bullshit, and I don't care. I don't care who it's going to really. Like,
I don't think many people make money out of it. Really.
I don't want to give affiliate money to anybody.
Yeah.
Really.
I'll tell you what. Right. You know, Filin, the file hosting service.
Storage people.
They have an affiliate service, and if you refer someone, they give you extra storage.
Oh, that's a different kettle of fish.
Filin are a legit good company anyway, in my opinion, from what I've seen. They also with Brave is that they take ads out of websites and put their own ads on the space, which again is like, look, obviously, we're all against ads here. We're certainly against the surveillance capitalism, all that kind of stuff. But
replacing it with a different one is not any good either.
Replacing it with a different one, you are literally taking the money out away from the website then, I think. But then what they've got is they've got this system where they pay the website creators, if you sign up to the scheme, some crypto. They give you their own crypto token. And I think I made some, like, a little bit. But when I wanted to, like, I can't remember why, but I wanted to take the money and go.
Yeah, once you want to cash it in, that's where crypto shows up what it is,
And it ended up being such a pain in the ass that it became incredibly obvious that it was a scam, basically. Mm. It was a grift, I think is the technical term for it.
Almost all crypto is a Ponzi scheme.
Or a pyramid scheme.
So there are different kinds of scam, but almost all of them are scams.
Rug pulls. Don't forget rug pulls.
Is that? Would you call that a rug pull then, that one?
Well, Trump... I think that's just a grift.
Yeah.
Because you've got your pyramid schemes where you get on early. You've got your rug pulls like Trump coin where it's like... You know, you build up the hype to when the coin's released. You get your pre-sellers in, so they buy chunks of the currency before it goes public. And then when it goes public, they sell at the first opportunity, usually using a bot or something. And then the price just drops through the floor. But of course, all the people that got the currency at the beginning, they come out ahead. Trump made loads of money from his fucking rug pull.
Yeah. And that's loads. All perfectly legal, I'm sure.
He's the president, right?
Yeah. Well, this is the thing.
Everything's legal if you're the president.
Yeah, well, this is the thing.
You just need to state the president.
This is why, you know, I get why this argument happened on the Discord a few weeks back with Ghosty about legal And but to my mind, it's more about things that are criminal. It could be, we need a word for it. There probably is a word for it. I'm probably just being stupid and not thinking of the right word, but there must be a word for morally criminal. You know.
Well, I usually mean,
immoral.
The
word immoral. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't know.
I mean, there are things that are criminal but not immoral, and the things that are immoral but not criminal.
The two don't.
I mean. Because of capitalism.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, right?
What capitalists, what they want and what they don't want. Sorry.
As we know, freeing slaves, illegal.
Illegal, yeah.
Hiding Jews from the Nazis.
Illegal.
Illegal.
Killing the Jews, if you're the Nazis, perfectly legal.
Perfectly legal. And also, freeing slaves, illegal.
Doing wars in the Middle East?
Illegal.
Arguable.
Oh my God, okay, right. There's a thing in The Expanse, going back to The Expanse,
We should probably talk about The Expanse, since we've got a whole new series.
I was going to ask, just before you make your point, is how little we're talking about this episode indicative of how much we're going to enjoy this season, or is it just because it's the opening episode?
I think it's because it's a setup episode.
Yeah.
I think with only six episodes, I think they could have made better use of the time.
I was reminded of a horrible blog. I mean, the blog post itself was very meaningful, but it was absolutely terrifying to read. It's about this guy that was deployed to Afghanistan. And what he would often do when he was on a convoy is he would be going through like an Afghan village and there would be children playing in the street. And he was ordered and did just you can't stop. So he literally heard the convoy just run over these children. Because what the Taliban would do would use these children to stop a convoy, jump the convoy. So he literally was talking about how like traumatized he was, just like knowing. I mean, you know, and that sort of kind of like I was reminded by that in the Expanse episode, because there was a lot of talk about like collateral damage and like people needing to die and all this kind of stuff. Sorry, I really brought the mood down, didn't I?
No, you're all right. It's basically are the inner governments essentially doing what Marco's doing, or talking about doing what Marco's doing?
Yeah,
and that's essentially what it is. And also something that doesn't come up in real politics in the real world is politicians do not mention creating.
Martyrs.
Martyrs. Well, martyrs is one thing, but what's the radicalizing people?
Partisans, I think, is the word they used in the end of the last season. I think this show is very clear as to what it thinks of, like, I mean, it's the American presidency, really, isn't it? That's what the analog is. And she's immediately shit again. She's become president of Earth, and she's immediately corrupted by it.
Corrupt
isn't the right word. It's more
corrupted.
She's pushed into certain corners, basically.
All U.S. presidents, they come in with goals of things they want to do, but it's the it's the office that determines what you can and can't do and what is necessary.
I say that's corruption. Not all corruption is backhanders. Some of it is just being paralyzed.
It's a different meaning of corruption, though. It's not getting payouts for blah, blah. It's being literally corrupted by the office.
Not corruption like we have in the British Parliament.
No.
Financial corruption.
I think we have several sub-definitions of corruption going on.
Yeah, maybe. But the main one that irks me is, it's when you get, like I say, when you get these stories like somebody's not declared something, even if it's the fash, it's
beside the point.
Doesn't make it right that they took it in the first place just because they declare it,
Honestly,
but that's
their own little
bubble of rules, isn't it? We're following the rules,
See, the type of corruption that I think annoys me probably more than that is that Keir Starmer doesn't have any. He's been so well. I don't even know if this is actually a change in him, but he's been so subdued by his position that he doesn't do anything.
No, like, I think he was that. I think he was just a wet blanket.
But him taking, the football tickets and the pop concert tickets and all the sort of like freebies he's been given, clothes and stuff. Like, if the country was doing great, I wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you're cutting benefits and shit, they're just it's not like that football ticket would have paid for much benefits. It's not an equilibrium.
Yeah, it's
ticket,
not but the, but it's, yeah, it's but not it's, but the financial...
It's the symbolism of it. Yeah, I'm taking all these freebies, but we're cutting...
Well, it goes back to this, it's basically the same sort of insult as Boris Johnson having his parties when everybody else wasn't going
to go see their dying people.
Expect it of the Tories.
Doesn't make it something that should happen anyway.
No.
But also, to be fair to Boris Johnson, he did try and cover it up.
He had the decency to lie.
He had the fucking self-awareness.
Yeah.
The thing that got me about it is Rishi Sunak, where he's not a party animal. He's clearly very straight edge. Yet he got peer pressured into these parties, and then he had to pay the fine. And it's like, fuck's sake, like, you didn't even want to be
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
He's so pathetic. They're all pathetic. Just like, oh my god, it's so yeah.
Well, this is what happens in politics, though. You either get complete fucking lunatics or useless people, because nobody wants to actually do the job, because the system's so broken, nobody sensible or caring wants to do the job.
Now and then, you get somebody who wants to actually do the job and do it for the people, like, you know, a Bernie or a Corbyn.
Yeah, and then they get fucked over by their own party and the media.
By the institutions, all the institutions.
Yeah,
or even a Miliband, you know? Like
Even a Miliband.
Do you reckon he's making sandwiches?
I was going to say, like, yeah, he would have been good for poor people, but can't eat a bacon sandwich, right? You shouldn't vote for him.
Yeah. Also, isn't it Miliband that made a cast in stone promise thing? Wasn't it him that did that?
Yeah.
It was like a big stone tablet that had all the election pledges on it.
Oh,
it's like fucking hell. We know that's never going
to. To be fair, I think Miliband and Corbyn, I think both of them listened to their advisors way too much.
Too much. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Miliband literally says that he was to the left of where his advice was, but he was convinced that his advisors were convinced you've got to get the centre.
Yeah, but then, of course, what we've got to remember is that people don't think on the left-right axis.
No, they think about individual issues very much, and they'll prioritise different issues at different times.
Yeah, like, it's vibes. Politics is 99% vibes, and advisors just they don't get that because they got too much university.
Or they get that too much, and they make it all about vibes, no policy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Anyway, The Expanse.
The Expanse. There's not a lot happened in this episode, honestly.
It's a lot of a few months have passed, and here's where everybody is now.
Naomi's moping about whatever Naomi's moping about this season. Everybody's being a twat to Clarissa, and it makes me angry because I love Clarissa and I feel very defensive.
I like her in this one.
I don't think Holden's not been a twat to her, is he?
No, Holden's not. And they're all pretending they liked Alex and that email.
That is probably the most jarring thing happening on the Ross and Ante is they're all oh no, Alex is gone.
Like, Amos, like, almost like I felt like he wanted to say, it's like, but like, she's an upgrade from Alex, right? Like, come on. Also, kind of interesting that Naomi's the pilot and now Clarissa's the mechanic.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah, it's obvious character versus story versus something.
I don't know. Like, maybe the new person shouldn't pilot the ship, so I kind of get that.
But she is a pilot. Yeah, we'd established
she's
that.
She's a good pilot.
She is a pilot,
She's probably a better pilot than Naomi.
Probably.
Yeah.
Naomi's just pushing herself in there to stop Clarissa getting a chance?
I'd prioritise making the best mechanic the mechanic over making the best pilot the pilot anyway.
But it's more of a trust issue where you can verify the work of the mechanic maybe, but like the pilot fucks up, it's all
It could cause damage.
Everyone on the ship probably needs to trust the pilot without question, without hesitation. Right?
Maybe that's interesting. Yeah,
they're the one that has to react fastest to any situation.
Kept Bull on as the pilot. He was fine.
Let's see how it goes.
there was potential for interesting character development with Bull.
Yeah, especially with him and Naomi. They could have butted heads. They're kind of like opposites, aren't they? But and also with the Belter thing and the Earther thing, and it's like, you could have... Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Bull seemed like a decent enough pilot.
Mm.
I'm flying a Martian ship for it wasn't really a belter.
A belter crew, yeah. An Earther flying a belter ship for a Martian ship, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. So like maybe that's a good plot arc for him.
More dynamic there than Alex had. Alex, his entire personality was I talk to the ship and I'm a cowboy, but he never sold the cowboy thing even.
No, never wore the hat.
Hey, Hoss, I'm sure he did.
Hoss.
One thing that got me was that Naomi was still being all sulky about Clarissa.
Yeah,
but they said they'd be on a ship for months. Are you really gonna be sulky with someone after months? Just square the squash.
Also,
the beef.
Even before that, what's the, I can understand why Holden.
Yeah,
she tried
he's
to
got reasons. Yeah, she's definitely got. He's definitely got reasons to be slightly wary. Yeah.
Naomi. She kind of saved Naomi because she's the one who said when they were in the ringy thing.
Yeah,
and the ship was in danger. It was It was Clarissa who did her
saved
tooth
all
thing
the stuff,
and,
yeah.
and
saved them all,
ninja'd everybody and sort of saved everybody's lives essentially on that ship.
Yeah.
So Naomi has had her life. You know that evens out. I've watched cartoons. I've watched I Dream of Jeannie. It evens out.
Is that the right tune for that one?
I think it is. Yeah, it's a good shot.
Didn't realize that's the theme tune.
Or is that
where
Bewitched?
I about,
that might be Bewitched.
It's where I learned about Arabic culture.
yeah. Right, everybody there, you're... It was which steam tune did I just do? I'm sure something like Tema or maybe if she watches it, maybe...
Isn't most of our numbers like Arabic invented?
I believe, and this might be wrong, this might be Indian propaganda, I believe we call them Arabic, and the Arabs used them, but I believe the Indians invented them. I believe the Arabic cultures got them from the Indians. Is my understanding?
So we are Arabic so easily sidetracked.
It's Arabic propaganda that they invented those numbers. Yeah,
it's big Arab.
Honest, yeah. See, I got to be honest. Sometimes I think we overthink about this. It's like it was invented by humans. It's a human.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But then that's easier to say from the Imperial Corps,
where
we get credit for everything. it doesn't matter who invented it. It's fish and chips, isn't it? It's ours.
I mean, Italians did not invent pizza. I refuse to believe that.
I disagree with that. I would say what we generally refer to as pizza now is an American invention or American development.
It's certainly not what Ghosty refers to as pizza.
But I'm a pizza pluralist. Like I think they're all just different forms of pizza. And the Italian pizza did precur, but with hamburgers, it's a sandwich. But it's the American version that's distinctly different from
what is the hamburg version of the hamburger?
I think it's just like a meat sandwich or a ground. Like it's the prototype of the same thing, but
and obviously the Earl of Sandwich did not invent the sandwich. I mean, that's
the idea that he was the first person.
Yeah,
I mean the point I think the point is he's the first person of a particular class.
Yeah, I was about to say his first posh person to ask for it. That's a different thing.
Yeah.
I bet he saw the men eating them and sort of.
Yeah. Name this after myself.
Who amongst us has had the toast sandwich?
Toast? Oh, no. Yeah. No, I think I might have had a bite and gone no.
Okay. I keep meaning to try
it's
the
just it's just the texture thing, which is fine, but it's not one that because I don't like crisps on sandwiches. I'm not against it or anything, but I personally don't. I don't enjoy. I don't like soft, crunchy soft.
And see, I've got very similar things to you sometimes, but that one, as long as I crunch the crisp, I can't have it with the crisps full. If the crisps are intact,
no, I don't like crunchy.
But,
I don't like crunchy on my sandwich.
If I crush it up so that it's small bits of crisp,
those like crispy onions you get sometimes. And sometimes you get them
in a little tub.
I don't like crunchy on a sandwich.
Mm. What about
pickle? I like smooth and...
But pickle can be crunchy. Pickles, like sandwich pickle.
That's a different kind of crunch.
Yes, vegetable crunch, like
a soft vegetable crunch instead of a hard crunch. Yeah. This is ridiculous. Yeah. We're even in the middle of a sentence, we went off target.
Yeah. But also, although to be fair, I think that's a good subject for one of a future podcast post Space Virgins.
I could try
a toast sandwich on camera.
All have a different sandwich and talk about it afterwards.
I'm English and working class. Like, I eat bread with every meal. And I've had I've had like lasagna sandwiches.
I've had a pizza sandwich. Yeah. I've had pizza. Scotch pie sandwich.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah,
yeah, we do that. Yeah,
not added, but yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. And, well, cheese and tomato in a croissant. That's nice. That's not working class,
not
by
cheese,
the way.
Though.
That's not
nice. Cheese.
No tomato.
Oh, well, plant-based cheese.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say.
I like cooked tomato. I like tomatoes pulped up and made into a sauce. That's delicious. Or sun-dried tomatoes.
Yeah, but, sauces.
But fresh or raw, you know, tomatoes that are whole.
It's too much.
The closest I can get to that is chopped tomatoes. Chopped tomatoes.
No, you know, even that's too much for me.
I could eat a bowl of cherry tomatoes.
No, I can't. No,
that is a massive mixture of textures all at once. Oh, no.
I think on an individual basis, I think we do lean more carnivore or herbivore. I'm sure, like, you know, biologically speaking, this is nonsense, but like, I would like to be vegan, but I get pleasure from eating meat. There's no plants that I get pleasure from eating. Like,
no,
I can eat them.
Love plants,
but I don't get
when people
pleasure.
Say, "Oh, I like it," it's like, I can eat it.
Onions. I love a cheese and onion sandwich. Yeah. You know, raw onion. Onion.
I wouldn't say it's
flavor,
something that gives
I don't get the same.
Such,
the same animalistic pleasure.
That changes over time, and taste buds change over time. That's one of the things.
It hasn't for me.
I mean, I can't comment on your individual thing, but like but also like, it's important to like you got to zhuzh up the veg as well. Like, you can't just like boil carrots. Like,
I mean,
like,
I enjoy, like a boomer. And this is the recent one. I used to always hate cauliflower.
What's,
but what's this
southern boomer thing? That you've gone
all
on.
All the vegetables that I hate, I like to try every now and then to see if I like them. Now
I have
and
tried a bit, and
I've recently
taken a couple of things back.
I've recently
on,
come to enjoy cauliflower, and I love cauliflower. A cauliflower cheese on a Sunday. But it's I enjoy that very much. But there is something specific about meat that triggers something in my brain that is like, this is food.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's protein is a protein thing. I can't think of many things to replace meat. I get it, and I do eat things like corn and stuff, but I'm not that big a fan of chicken, and that's the problem.
Chicken barely counts
corn
as meat.
And corn is kind of basically a chicken substitute mostly.
I mean, I'd like to be a vegan, but. And, you know, I can do without that pleasure. That pleasure isn't necessary for my existence or anything, like, and I should. But there is, like, if I think about raw beef, I salivate. If I think about onions, I just go, that'd be nice.
But, like, cows have best friends.
I know, morally, it's disgusting. It's repugnant. There is no justification. In a world where we don't need
I do agree with Drew that in that respect, but... Yeah, if it was something to do with fascism, we would be the thin end of a wedge towards fascism. We're the thin end of a meat thing. Mm.
Yeah? Thin end of carnivorism.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Do you know what's kind of weird is that when you get further to the right, the diets get weirder and weirder. You've got your vegan like fash, but also you've got your carnivore fash.
Mm.
Like, it's just like...
Well, Americans are big on that, and it's in the southern states particularly, or in Texas and stuff, because it's all, we're cattle, is the big thing, and it's...
I think part of the attraction of right, we'll say...
And they take it as a manliness thing as well, don't they?
It's very right-wing ideologies is the attraction of fascism is that it simplifies things. And I think people who like things to be straightforward, like one answer, there's one answer, and it's very clean and pure... And I think that can apply to your diet just as easily as it can apply to your political economy.
Yeah, it's like a reductionism. You don't want to put your arsehole out to the world there, mate.
It's the cat
That's
thing.
Cats. Yeah. We expect it from cats. Have we missed anything out on
No.
Well, I'll tell you what,
Monica.
Monica, yeah, Monica's turned up on the... Well, and
she's actually a journalist doing things that journalists should do. To
well,
be
she
fair.
Has been. Yeah. She has been. I think a wee bit. Yeah. A wee bit of a slimy, inveigling type journalist a lot of the time. But in this, yeah, she's a bit more openly journalistic in this.
Like,
one,
like you know, you'd expect her to be.
People deserve the truth.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so. Right, there's two things I want to. Say about there's sort of two notes, if you like, that I've got. Mm-hmm. One of the, I'll bring them in reverse order. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you think it meant? How did you take it when Avasarala speaks to Bobby about, you know, hating the job and blah blah blah? And what did you take from that, that's going to happen with Bobby next, basically, I think is what I'm asking.
Is she going to join the Ross and Anti crew?
That's what I think. That's kind of what I think she's saying. At least send her out to the action somewhere. Mm. Maybe the Ross
somewhere and where you're somewhere. More useful.
Yeah, exactly.
And to be
yeah.
fair, I mean that in some ways that kind of makes more sense. But also Bobby's on a she has a proper gravy train. Like, come on, like take the easy.
Doesn't seem,
that's,
off.
Not,
like, seem,
that's not a Bobby thing though.
That's not.
Is
yeah,
this?
Bobby doesn't take
like
the easy path.
Praetorian guard.
Yeah, basically. Okay, that's yeah. We're on the same page there. I kind of reckon that's that. Reckon and both would obviously want that to be the thing that happens with
she
Bobby.
She might not, but like, who else is she going to team up with, right? Like,
I guess.
Also, it's something. I mean, I can't remember what happens, but it's clearly what the audience wants.
Yeah,
you want precisely. To see that. Give that's the audience, you know.
Yeah,
you want to tease them sometimes, but you got to ultimately, you got to give them what they want.
I mean, what would be kind of neat. For the final series would be if Avasarala and Bobby just joined.
Yeah, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Get Prax back, Monica can come along, you know.
Okay. The other part, which I think might be more of a Chris theory and more involved, is what do you think is going to happen with the planet then? So we've seen that there's real life there. We're actually seeing it all. There's animal life, there's plant
life.
Yeah,
we didn't actually... I think we all acknowledged it. We didn't really. It's
never
an alien
seen
on planet.
It's a proper,
fucking. It's not
proper,
a quarry.
And then you've also got this thing building, or is it growing? Do you think, or is that just the state it was in when we saw it last?
I think the helix thing implies growth.
Yeah, it does imply it from what we've seen before.
Usually, when the tendrils go out, it usually is
building
changing.
Something. Yeah.
Well, we also had the visual metaphor of the tendrils of the plant on the planet, and then the tendrily.
Yeah, the sort of, you know, the pan up short thing. So, yeah. So anyway, I mean, possibly Drew theories as well. And if you can't remember, it
I literally can't fucking remember anything.
I will poker face myself and and wait patiently for your.
I mean. My sort of instinct is telling me that what's going to happen is that he's going to, the Cortazar is going to inadvertently open up a portal to the past, and the aliens all are going to come through and they're going to start fighting and we're going to get caught in the middle.
You want to see the actual aliens. That's what you want. You want to know what they're all about.
That,
yeah.
Yeah, or...
I've not seen any time travel evidence before, have you? Well, we've talked about the sort of... I think we've seen evidence of causality connections, but not time travel.
Yeah, or possibly not necessarily like time travel back to the future style, but also, but like maybe
there's no DeLorean. Like,
but they're going to bring like they're going to re create the aliens as they were in today's space, and then they're going to start fighting or something.
I would say this is to sort of illustrate or an example of what I was talking about last time about if you go into the alien stuff. There can be dangers in that. Is the recent version or the more recent version of Lost in Space, No, not the TV show. They did a TV show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. More recently than that, it's very good. Very Expanse-ish. It's like Expanse if it was made for
several hotties in it as well.
Several hotties in. But yeah, the premise of the show, like the original TV show, is that this robot turns up and is friends with the little boy. And the robot is clearly from some alien, super advanced alien culture. And in the third season, they go to the planet of that super advanced alien culture and find out all about it. And it's awful.
Yeah, it just sort of destroys the fun. They took what was an episode of the week style show.
Yeah.
Made it modern and quite fun.
Yeah, and then, it was really good. And then I really
knowing
enjoyed
they,
it.
And then knowing they only had one series left to go, just capped it off the way you would cap off
they ejaculated all of the mystery breakings. And I think that's
a really good example of I think that's the kind of example that justifies what Drew was saying earlier.
If that's the show, keeping it distant and mysterious, I think is better than
That's a fair point. So what? Okay, so distilling that, what about? They're reactivating an alien weapon and they're going to blow up Earth.
Sorry, we're not saying that's not the case, by the way. We're just
I don't think we're going to actually see the aliens. It's probably the interesting thing is us going to be monkey wrenching around with.
So you mean activate something like they did with Illus then?
And like what happened in Holden's vision, where the beam's going to come through the gates and then it's going to destroy. Actually, because Earth seems like it's on the way out anyway, it might destroy Earth.
The beams through the gates, was that the blue aliens trying to get rid of the red aliens, or was that vice versa? I can't remember. That was the blue aliens attacking the red aliens, right?
Oh, I thought that was the other way around.
It may well be. In fact, you know, I think you're right. I think it's the other way around. Yeah. That was the blue planets being conquered by the red, wasn't it? Or destroyed or sterilized or whatever.
Something like that, yeah. So I think it's going to have something to do with the aliens, because I think they even talk about, did they even mention the term builders at some point?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think we're getting back into that storyline, which I'm really excited about. That's what I'm here for. I'm bored of Marco.
I think Cortazar calls them the builders, you know.
Yeah, I'm bored of Marco, yeah.
It's like he could have been good, but they decided that they, you know. And like you say, a lot of it is to do with this interpersonal stuff with Naomi. Like, they didn't have to make him a bad guy. They could have made him like Anderson Dawes or Fred Johnson or someone who's somewhere.
Exactly. No, exactly. If he'd been ambiguous in the way that Dawes is ambiguous. Because we talked at so much length as to, like, we all read him differently. And we all accepted that the other way was perhaps valid, but his charisma caught. And there's none of that with Marco. He's far more MCU. He's far more comic-y.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I mean, in hindsight now, Dawes died a good guy, you know, like, you know, well done, Dawes, you...
For not signing Marco, basically, yeah.
I think Dawes is...
You could say Johnson had the same thing. He was not, you know, was protecting the protomolecule from Marco was how he died, technically.
Yeah.
Or from anybody, particularly from Marco in the case
I think Johnson was a little bit more of a, like, you know his dimensions, right? You know that he is pro-belt.
A little bit more saviory, external savior sort of.
But
we've got to be careful of the terminology we use there, since he wasn't... since the actor and character were black, so can't say white savior.
Really. I mean, in the show, he's an Earther. That's what matters.
Yeah, that's the point.
I mean,
Earther savior.
Earthers are the white people of the show, aren't they? Right?
Like, yeah.
They're the imperialists of the
imperialists. They're like old money or whatever. Yeah, like the establishment. You know. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to the alien builder stuff. I actually kind of like Cortazar as well as a character, and I'm interested to see what normal guy Cortazar's like.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd call him normal guy ever, but you know.
just aesthetically, he looks
he doesn't look like the sort of I agree.
I agree. Cortazar's an interesting. He's an interesting. That's the problem with Marco. He's not an interesting character. He's a well performed character, but it's still the actor's doing what he can with
what he's got. I mean, to some extent, I suppose I would say the actor playing Phillips doing the same thing as well. He's not doing a bad job.
It's the character, not the actor.
There's very few times where they haven't got like peak actor, even for some of the smallest roles.
I don't know if this is an actor thing. I really don't like Philip, and it's maybe the actor's doing a good job, and I just don't like the character.
I think that's how I feel. I think if you look at it, that's what it is. Yeah.
So I mean, he's a young guy and he's doing a good job at playing a character that is very hateable. So well done on that.
He's very lavish.
Yeah. Also, he shot his friend. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think that's going to go then? Let's go with that. Obviously it's not as deep a storyline as any of the other things.
Where do you think that's going to lead? He's wearing alligator skin, so there's a little part of me is like.
I thought that might have something to do with your opinion.
Do you think it's real alligator skin, though?
I think he's got scammed.
Let's
have a look. I am far from an alligator.
Well, the actual alligator skin won't be real alligator skin.
More narratively, in the show's
universe, has he been scammed? And I think the answer is yes.
Yeah,
because he's that kind of person.
Well, yeah. getting an alligator skin from like when you talk about the supply chains and all that kind of stuff, alligator skin's going to be pretty. He's not going to be able to afford it, is he?
That looks pretty fake to me, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, but we acknowledge that in the new world rather that they're not going to use a real alligator skin.
But it looks fake.
It looks like it's fake.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
It's too symmetrical. He's the coattail guy. I think there will be no repercussions to him getting shot whatsoever.
Hmm.
That's some poker face again. No, I reckon he'll probably get seen. Someone will record it on the phone, and that might cause some internal.
Record it vertically.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, actually, their hand terminals are horizontal screen.
They stick out a bit. You know,
I think of the phone.
They're not as narrow as these. So they are slightly less changed. Oh god, you can see you guys.
Yeah,
hey. Slightly less. There you go. That's what it looks like, but backwards. So everybody point to the thing.
Point to the. No, wrong way. No, wait. Is that? Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Right, so what excitement have you got coming up in your life, Christopher?
Oh, well, I am going on Ozone's podcast later today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool, Medi. Excellent, yeah.
Yeah,
so well, say hi from us.
We'll do, and thank you for getting...
Do you know what you're talking about? And
Not a clue.
No, okay. Is it a Wing It type of show?
It's a Wing It thing, yeah.
I've got to catch up. I've not watched one of them yet because I don't want to not keep watching, if you know what I mean. It's like the opposite of TV to me. It's something that I would actually like to watch as it comes along. Because these kind of things that are recorded like a live chat are quite often, like when we talk about Linux things or anything like that, it's kind of sometimes contextual to what's happening in the Linux space, whether, you know, certain actors are being bad within the community and stuff like that. You know, so I think it's worth, I know it's not all Linux stuff, but I think it's worth, you know, taking these things as at the time. And I feel now I've got a bit of a backlog, but I will try and get around to it. I've been so busy with other things. You know?
The last one I've seen is the Owncast guy, and I really enjoyed that, actually. Because he explained a lot about how what the decisions he made along the way for Owncast, and because as far as I'm concerned, Owncast is one of the best Fedi pieces of software.
Definitely,
you know, and a lot of it was like how he was talking about how he did the chat because he could have linked it in with the Fediverse, but then that would have meant a lot more resources at the same time as. It doesn't work because the chat on the side of a stream is contextual. It wouldn't make sense if you just started spamming,
seriously.
You know, all that kind of stuff. Like it was, yeah, like, and yeah, because I mean, I'm, you know, love Owncast because, oh, didn't we set up a freebooters Owncast channel or something like that? You're muted.
Not in software. Oh, yeah.
24-hour rolling freebooters episodes, yeah. Maybe this should be off air or whatever, but I thought it'd be good to have to put other stuff in the roster that's like adjacent, like, you know, Hamish's stuff if he's up for it, and like various other stuff. And then I thought, well, why not just make like CCTV, just like anything that's Creative Commons.
I thought you meant you had cameras somewhere. Like,
like any Creative Commons content we spot around whatever that we think would, you know, fit a sort of a vibe, a theme, and just put it on, and it's, you know, like a TV channel.
Well, okay, you can make you can make playlists on Owncast, not on Owncast, on PeerTube rather. So you could always...
Yeah, but the idea of tuning in and it's at a particular time and, you know, you see it or you miss it type thing, like TV.
Yeah, that's cool. What I mean. No, you could, like, make a playlist from PeerTube. So it's CCTV, as you put it, but you know, and just run it. I don't mean make it so people can pick. I mean make it so that that's running as a stream.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't know if you can. I'm just saying that would be an idea. Because I don't know how you're running the thing as it is. I've never ran offline video from it.
It's just from FFmpeg.
No, but I mean, I don't even know the mechanism by which you get that into a stream. You know?
But am I right in remembering that the only way to really do it is to encode everything into a single video file?
That's the best way we found when you've got videos with different frame rates and video different you know, encodings and stuff. Yeah, just make it just... FFmpeg it into one big long video and then just play it. And yeah, so.
And where does the video get hosted? On the server?
No, that I try to do it on. So the Owncast itself is hosted on an Oracle free VPS. And I try to do another Oracle free VPS to FFmpeg to that one. But the just didn't have enough CPU. It takes quite a lot of CPU to do that. So Ghosty donated a server and it's coming from that.
Oh, fantastic.
Right. So is Ghosty sort of OBSing into the...
Well, just straight from FFmpeg. Just FFmpeg.
Oh, there's a way to put a key in it, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But the same mechanism as you would use to plug in OBS sort of thing.
Gotcha. Well, FFM... Simple Screen Recorder.
FFM.
Simple Screen Recorder... which is like obviously the very simple screen recording software, that can actually also do streams, but you can only stream one thing. And that does it all through FFmpeg as well.
But can't that do screen capture?
Yeah.
So you could have multiple things. But you could have multiple things happening on the screen. So you could have like a video with an overlay with you clicking on things and stuff.
Yeah, except you can only do one sound source as well. So if you wanted to,
that
do
wouldn't be a problem for me. I could mix them at my end. So
you could mix them. Yeah. All you got to do is have a single output, and then So yeah, if OBS goes tits up, then Simple Screen Recorder has options.
I feel like it's partway there already, personally. But yeah, it's now and again it redeems itself. It just seems like they mess with stuff too much.
Yeah,
I agree. I mean, I'm on. I use Debian, by the way, and
good to know.
The OBS in the repositories of Debian has. I mean, obviously, it's going to be like the same version since years ago, but like so far, so good.
My OBS is 31.0.3-browser-1 because I need to use the one that's got browser stuff built in. The plugin version of the browser stuff doesn't work for me for some reason. But the version that's compiled with browser stuff into it works. So I can, and that's only for one thing, really. The only thing I use it for is the emojis that fly up the screen during the live stream. That's all it's for, really.
Yeah.
But there are other ways. You know, you can use it in other ways because, you know, grabbing a... having lots of servers and being able to put something up on HTML and have it, you know, shown up as some sort of dynamic thing is quite handy as well in the long term.
Yeah.
I do keep meaning to make an effort to make, you know, frames and stuff for my streams and videos, but...
This is
pretty high effort, you know. We've got the flags, we've got the consistently positioned three people, you know. We've got our little... Yeah, there's a bit of production going on.
All right. Fair to say we're done?
I believe we're done, yeah. Stick a fork in us. Right, so I think, given that there's only six episodes to this series, I think we're going to find that the others are a bit more action, you know, there's a bit more action and things going on in them. So I'm quite looking forward to this, us doing this.
The last two series could have been six episodes.
Six instead of ten would have been good for those, actually. Yeah, it would have,
not the first three. The first three needed a ten because they were using them. But I agree for the last two.
I'm just trying to think if there's anything else we need to discuss. I don't think so. I'm not on air anyway.
There's climate change happening on Earth again.
Oh, thought we'd solve that.
Well, apparently the CO2 scrubbers were, I don't know.
Oh, in the show, yeah.
This kind of solution in science fiction is what makes fucking idiots think that technology is the solution instead of cutting on the root cause of the problem, you know. Oh, well, just fix it with some more technology. That'll fix it. How do CO2 scrubbers work in a mass system? They must produce CO2 to do that, you know. CO2 scrubbers, work, but they work in an enclosed environment, not on a planetary scale. I don't see how that would work.
I mean, future tech, it's possible, but we can't do it yet.
Yeah, but if we keep paying the tech bros enough money, they'll keep having those wild ideas.
Oh, it's not going to come from private research. They don't do things that are actually fucking useful.
Yeah, obviously not. Actually, just one last thing before we go. I saw an interesting... People were talking about the difference between tech bros and hackers on the Fediverse, and it's like... The sort of simple shorthand somebody put up, it was like a sort of, you know, what was it? Checkmate sort of post was, Steve Wozniak is a hacker, Steve Jobs was a tech bro, you know. Perfect shorthand for it, you know, grifting salesman type person and an actual technical person with ideas and skills, you know.
There we go. Well, that's good. I like that.
Yes. Well, thank you for showing us your pussy. That's been very kind of you, Chris. First time you've shown pussy on the stream.
And thank you.
I'm forever showing my growler, but that's just...
If you keep this up, I'm actually getting my dick out.
No.
YouTube.
That's all right. I'll get... We should sort of pretend that he's done it one day. It's too late now, but we should pretend one time that he didn't put the segment thing in. just put
blur
the,
it out.
Blur, yeah. No, put the little, this is a funny segment, strange segment. You know, and just chat as if he's talking for a few minutes with Deco. You know?
When I did that, I had no idea that it was going to be
as useful. Yeah, it's been useful because it's the word segment is, you know, so multi.
Anyway, shut the fuck up and end it. I hate it when podcasts do this, when they keep going, we're going to end it, and I'm not like anticipating the ending, and then it never fucking comes.